All right. My name's Evan, if you don't know who I am. Probably means you're new here. Welcome here. We're so glad that you've found your way to church, and I'm the lead pastor here. And just so you know, we gather on Sundays. We really believe that there's something about us all coming together, dreaming together, gathering together, worshiping Jesus together, taking communion together. There's something about us doing it together in these moments, but we also know that there's more to the Christian life than just gathering on a Sunday. And so you're here, but I hope you find a spot to land in small group. I hope you find a spot to serve on team. I hope you're able to engage with our community in different ways. I hope that you're able to grow in your faith beyond just this Sunday, but we're so glad that you've decided to make Sunday a part of this week, and I hope you'll make it a part of every week because there's something about being together, isn't there? Oh, there's something about being together, isn't there? Yeah. Yes. We're really glad you're here. We're working through our last of our 4 week series that we've called The Dead of Winter. Has anyone appreciated the Dead of Winter series? We've been sort of looking at what it's like and how we handle those times in our life where it just feels like our soul is under that sort of the weightiness of life, the heaviness that sometimes we're in, the fogginess, you know, just like the weather can turn in the winter and everything that was alive now seems to be dead and everything that was warm now seems to be cold and everything that was vibrant now seems to be dull and you know, the blue skies turn gray and the dryness turns wet and then snowy, and then icy, and then all of that. Sometimes our soul can be in that spot too. We can just feel, it's just like, meh, I just want to get out of this. And sometimes we know why we're there, and sometimes we don't know why we're there. And so we've been looking through the things that I want you to stop doing when you're in that spot. That I want you to stop doing some certain things while you're in that spot, because we are all going to go to that place at some point in our life where there's just a heaviness and a weightiness within our soul. And I want you to recognize when you're in that space, or maybe you're in that space right now, there are some things that I want you to stop doing. The first week we said, I want you to stop isolating. Don't stop being on your own and assuming that you can handle it all and take it all and deal with it all. I want to tell you that you're not actually meant to deal with it all on your own. In many ways, you're meant to walk with other people and deal with other people and stand with other people who want to remind you that you're in a winter and remind you that there's a spring. The next one I said, I want you to stop rushing. Sometimes we get extra stressed about winter because we're just trying to get out of it, and we're not out of it yet, and so then maybe something's wrong with us, and we're not out of it yet. What's going on? What's happening? I should be out of this by now. And we said that probably God actually has something to teach you in that space. God actually wants to show you some things in winter. In fact, some of the greatest things God wants to teach you are in the darkest times in your life and most challenging times in your life. And so if you just try to rush past and put on the blinders and get through this, sometimes you're going to miss some of the greatest lessons that God wants to teach you for when the spring comes and for when you're in the summer days and when you're later in your life. Sometimes that hard work in winter pays off later in the spring. Stop rushing. Then last week we said, stop denying the destination. Where we painted the picture that no matter what, when you're a believer in Jesus, no matter what winter you're walking through, there is a spring. And it's an eternal spring. And if you don't get it in this life, you're going to get it in later life. And wouldn't it be better to live a whole life here of winter to know that there's an eternal spring rather than be stuck in an eternal winter? And so Jesus says, I've got an eternal spring for you. Just believe for it. So stop isolating, stop rushing, stop denying the destination. And then this week, I'm gonna talk about this last one. It's been on my radar, and I wanted it last because I want you to know that it's not always the reason that we're in winter. Sometimes we just land in winter, and we can't explain it. Sometimes our circumstances change, and we're not being punished. It's not God coming down on us. It's not God leaving us. It's actually God leading us. But this week, I want to talk to you about the idea that sometimes we're in winter because we're sinning. So stop sinning. Stop doing that. Hey, quick side note. This week, someone came in the church and said, hey, how was Port Alberni this week, Jeff? Because we had our startup party on Tuesday night in Port Alberni. And when someone said that to me, I don't know what kind of week it's been, because I was like, that was not this week. I've talked about that a million times on Sunday since, but I haven't. And so this week, we had a Port Alberni startup party on Tuesday, which meant we went there and we sort of tried to take our Northgate culture to Port Alberni and invite as many people out as we can and just see what kind of momentum and what kind of excitement we could gather together. And I'm happy to inform you, we started in one spot. We decided to rent a different spot because we thought we might have a few extra people. Well, we had like 100 adults show up to Port Alberni for that thing, and 25 kids. Yowza. So we had, it was probably about two-thirds Port Alberni and one-third Courtney. Thanks for those Courtney people who came out and joined us. By the way, we want you to come out next time too. You get to share the story. You get to share the testimony. If someone says, so do you actually like Northgate? And it's one thing for the pastor to say, I love it. Hey, that's awesome. I love it. It's so good. It's a whole different thing for one of you to say that. For one of you to say, I actually do love what's going on and what God is doing through Northgate. And so if you can't say that about Northgate, please don't come. But if you can, come and join us. If you say, I do love what's going on here, I love what's being a part of what's happening at Northgate and Courtney, and I really believe for what's happening in Northgate and Port Alberni, if you want to come and pray for people, meet people. We had about 8 or 9 people respond to the message that was shared, and then at least, we don't know, we tried to follow up with everyone, but at least one person gave their life to Jesus that night, and It was just a special time. It was amazing, and thanks for being a part of this. Let's continue to dream for Port Alberni. There we said, guys, pray for this, get involved with this, give to this financially, let's do it all. And my same encouragement is to you, Courtney, let's do it together. Let's believe that something is about to happen. Our heart is that we want to launch in September with 1% of that city, that we'd have 170 people out, we'd have 1% of that city right away. Wouldn't that be cool? Launching with a 1% of our city. That would be so amazing. We still don't have 1% of our city in this building, but wouldn't it be sweet to start with Port Alberni? 1%. Anyways, side note. Whew, there we go. It was awesome. So stop sinning. We're back to the dead of winter. You know what? Sometimes it's our own choices that keep us where we're at. It's our own decision to live in disobedience to God. Sometimes God has a way out for us and we don't take it because we think we know the better way. We say, God, you might want me to go in that direction, but we both want the same outcome, God, but I think I'll take this other route because I probably know a little bit better than you. That's sin. It's disobedience. When God says, I just want you to walk with me and come with me and trust me and follow me and live the way I've asked you to live, we say, well, I'll do most of that, but not this. And then all of a sudden, we start looking around and saying, well, why in the world am I in winter? God, when are you going to deliver me? And God's saying, I'm over here on this path that I called you down and you said you wanted to take the other one. Guess it's not working. Come my way. Come back to me. Walk with me. Follow the way I've asked you to live. Stop sinning. You know, my kids are kind of this way. My kids, we'll say to our kids, probably greatest winter season that they experience right now is the season of the day or of the week when they get no TV. That's a winter season of the soul for them. You know, that is like, oh, it just stings for them. It's just a painful one. And so Kendall and I will sometimes, put TV at the end. Hey, guys, we'd love to let you watch some TV today, but first we're going to, no! You know, as soon as we say, but first, here's what it's going to look like. Hardy is just down on the floor. Well, I just want to watch TV right now! We're like, you haven't even heard. We might have said, but first you need to eat donuts, you know. Who knows what we could have said. But we'll say, hey, but first we're going to, you know, do the dishes and we're going to clean up your room. And like, oh, no. And Hardy will start negotiating. Oh, well, okay, yeah. How about I do one show right now, then I do that, and then I'll go and finish off the rest of the day for shows. We're like, no, you're not watching an entire day of shows, first of all. But secondly, we tried that once before, fools, and it did not work. So we're not doing that again. We're going to walk this out together. You're going to do the things we're asking you to do, and at the end of that, you're going to get to watch a show. It's like, Izzy will just jump up like, okay, happy to do that. Like, I'll empty the dishwasher. And at the end, we're like, hey, you get your show. I don't even need a show. Do you have more chores? You know? And Hardy will be like, good, Izzy can do all that and I'll watch the show. You know, this is working great. She can go do those things, I'll do these things, it's gonna be perfect, you know. And the kids will start to negotiate with us. It's like, no, you're not going to get what we want you to have unless you do what we ask you to do. That's just the way it is. Well, how about I just do this instead? You said you want me to put away the dishwasher stuff. How about instead I brush my teeth? Right? You're brushing your teeth anyways, but we try to work that same way with God, I think, or with our little Nola. It's not quite as much this way anymore, but if Nola needed a little calm down, sometimes she's just going a little bit cray-cray, and we're just like, okay, we just need a little space here. So Nola, we'll try to communicate clearly. Nola, here's what's going to happen. You need to settle down a little bit, sweetheart. We're going to put you in your bed, and once you're done screaming and doing all this, then we'll come in, and we'll come get you. You'll be calm. We'll come back in the house, and we'll carry on. So as soon as you're done freaking out, you can come on back in. So here you go. Once you're quiet, and we're trying to be so clear because we really want her to come and be part of the family. We really want her to be done with her room and out of her room. We don't want to leave her in her bed and be like, bye, see you later. We want to have her engage with us, but she can't engage with us the way she's acting. So we're like, okay, Nola, do you understand? We're just going to put you down. Yeah, I understand. So we put her down. She's like, no! Like, hey, just so we're all clear here, just in case you missed it, if you're quiet, we'll take you out of here. No, you pick me up. So we're like closing the door. If you're quiet, if you're quiet, we're going to bring you out right away. Right when you're quiet, we're going to come in. No! And they close the door like, please be quiet. Just if you're quiet, we're going to come back in. This is hurting mommy and daddy so bad. Please be quiet. We want to bring you back out. And you just got to wait it out. It's weird when we see our kids do that. We're like, it's so clear what you need to do. We made it so obvious what you need to do. We've spoken it many different ways. We've shown you before. And in fact, last time you saw how it worked. Once you got quiet, we came right in your room because we were waiting at the door crying. We showed up and we got you right away. Like, come on back into the family. We're so glad that you've seen this work. You've seen how it happens. You've seen that mom and dad are faithful to do what we say we're gonna do. You've seen that when you follow through the way we asked you to follow through, then everything is going to get sorted. And you've also seen that we're not coming back in if all you want to do is scream. We're telling you what you have to do. And as soon as you do it, we're back at it. And for some reason, with God, we never grew out of some of that. For some reason, we don't trust God in some of the things that he says, hey, this is how I want you to live. And we're like, yeah, that's an option. I like that idea. That's pretty good. Why don't we try to work out a little bit better of a plan? Do you have a whiteboard, God? Like, let's talk about, we sort of try to create a different plan. Maybe we should do it this way, or how about that way, God? Or maybe I should, and God's like, I'm God. I know how to live. I know what's best for you. I know where to lead you. I know how to get you out of this situation. I know how to walk you through the situation. But instead, some of us sit in our beds screaming, and God's saying, just be quiet. And we're like, no! And we're sitting in winter season calling out for God. And Nola will be calling out for us saying, where are you? Why aren't you here? She's screaming out like that. And we're saying, we're right outside the door. Just shh. Just listen to us. Just understand that you're going to be happier coming out quiet. Just understand that we can't just let you do it. Just understand. Please, would you understand? And I think God's sometimes saying the same to us. Hey, I don't want you in that winter. I don't want you sitting there. I don't want you struggling with where you're at, but I've got a way for you to live. And if you don't want to live it, then I'm just going to let you do your thing and walk in your own sin. Walk in your own brokenness. Walk in the consequences of your own actions. Yeah, but Jesus, don't you love me? Yeah, I love you. I got a cross for you. I'm going to forgive you. I've got everything for you. Grace is available for you. I absolutely love you. Follow me. Yeah, well, but I just want to do this first. Okay, well, you can go do that, but I'm over here. In the book of Peter, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. If you're too proud to live the way God asks you to live, God says, go ahead and live it then. Go ahead and live that way then. I feel like there's a certain few things within our lives that we decide, I probably know better than God in these things. In Psalm 81, 11 to 14, it says, but my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. And here it is, so I gave them over to their stubborn hearts. I just gave them to their stubborn hearts. Come on with me. No, 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 we know a better way. No, come on with me, I've got something for you. No, 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 I can figure this out myself. Come on, come with me. God, where are you? Why aren't you helping me? I'm right over here. Come on, come on, this is the way. God, where are you? We walk off the other way. God, where are you? I'm right here, follow me. I don't wanna follow you. Can you just come over here? And says, okay. If you're so stubborn in walking a different direction than I'm asking you to walk, then go ahead, walk it. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. Then he says, but if my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. He says, how quickly I want to swoop in and save them. I want to come and be the hero. How quickly I want them to experience everything that I have for them. How quickly I want to come and deliver them and provide for them and restore them and walk them through healing. How quickly I want to come and do that. But instead, they're choosing to resist me and push against me. And so I have to let them go in their stubbornness because I have to be God in the relationship. They can't be. And so away they go and they live this other way often. Now, it doesn't always mean, I want you to hear this, it doesn't always mean that when you're in a winter, it's because you've resisted God and you've sinned against God. That's not always the case. Sometimes you're just in winter. And in fact, when Job in the Bible is in a really bad spot, people are like, well, you must have sinned. And God's like, no, you just don't understand what's going on. Don't worry, I know what's going on. You didn't sin against me. And then, but sometimes... In fact, when you read through the Bible, you see often that sin leads to just people walking on their own away from God. And God's like, okay, I'm not going to chase you. I'm not going to force you. If you want to go live on your own strength, go live on your own strength. And if you want to come back to me, I've got a way for you to live. Often we resist him in certain things. I want to look at one story in the Bible, and I speak about this story fairly regularly because I love it. I think it's an amazing representation of what it looks like to obey God and walk in obedience to who he is. Whether we want to walk, because sometimes we want to walk in our way rather than obey, hey? Sometimes. We want to walk in our own way instead of obey God. God says, I want you to obey. I want you to come and find my way. And so Moses is in the midst of one of the greatest winters of Israel. Israel has come out they've seen the greatest deliverance from God. They've seen incredible things happen as they've left Egypt and they're heading towards the promised land that God wants to give to them. And it's often, by the way, between the promise and the provision that we find ourselves in the winter. That we feel like God has promised us something and now we're somewhere in between and we're looking forward to something but we're not there yet and we've come away from the thing that we've been delivered from. And somewhere in between there, sometimes winter takes place. And for Israel, they're in this wandering land and looking for the next space to show up to. And in that spot, they say, they start complaining, where's the water? Where's the food? Why aren't we back there? This is the worst. And Moses keeps going to God. Saying, God, are you gonna do something for us? In Exodus 17, 5 to 6, they're complaining again, saying, where's our water? The Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. Pretty cool moment. You know, Moses goes, and he's like, everyone's complaining, God, and this just seems like a real winter season. This is a real heavy season. What should we do? We need water at least. And God says, okay, I'm going to do something really cool. Everyone's going to think it's amazing. You take your staff, you're going to hit a rock, and out of that rock are going to come streams of water. Amazing moment for Israel. Amazing thing to happen. And boom, all this water comes out. Everyone's like, yeah, Moses is the best. God is incredible. This is so cool. I can't believe it. Yay, 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 yay. All of this takes place. And then a little while later, the Israelites are complaining again. Where's the water? In Numbers 28 to 12, God says to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. And here's what he says instead. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of that rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. I love that Jesus changes it up, that we see God change it up on him. First time, strike the rock, but I don't want you to get used to your processes. I don't want you to start to think that you know how to do this anymore. I don't want you to start thinking that you don't have to rely on me. I want you to continue to turn to me, that every step you take is going to, you might look a little bit different. Obedience doesn't look the same tomorrow as it does today. God's going to ask you to do something today that he might not ask you to do tomorrow, and then in a week he might have something else, and then in a month he might have something else, and he wants to shape you, because the goal is not that God creates a great outcome. God could create an amazing outcome with your life, but the goal is to draw you into relationship, and relationship comes from regular obedience, regularly walking with him. Jesus later says that you're my friends when you obey my commands. When you follow what I say, you become my friends. He wants friendship with you. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock? I love that. Moses, you're so smart. You know, you're so talented. You're such a good water out of rock bringer. You know, Moses just comes up and says, oh, God, you want me to do the water thing again, I think. And you accidentally said, speak to the rock, but I know actually how to do this. I can't believe you think speaking to a rock is going to make water come out. I have a staff, come on. And so he's like, come on, everybody, gather around. Moses is here. Don't worry. I'm going to take care of this rock, and all of you think there's no water, but I've done this before. I'm amazing at this, and God's telling me to talk to rocks, but I even know better than God. I'll hit this rock and watch what happens. Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff, and water gushed out in the community, and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. Go ahead and wander in winter until you die. Go ahead and don't experience the promise that I have promised to you. Whoa, hey, you can imagine Moses. Hold up a second, wait a second. Didn't you see what I just did, God? Like, wasn't I pretty impressive? I just made water come from a rock, God. Is it like I showed up and now I've done that twice? I'm two for two. I've made water come out of rocks every single time I've tried, God. Aren't you going to reward me for that? Like, isn't that pretty special? And God's like, who made water come from the rocks? Was it you? Did you do that, Moses? Congratulations, Moses. Way to go, Moses. You go ahead and do that all this time. I'm going to go ahead and lead everyone else to the promised land. Because if you want to continue to disobey me in this winter, then you can stay in this winter, and I'm going to lead them to the promised land away from you. And Moses decides he doesn't want to obey God. Instead, he wants to ride on his own experience, his own past, because he thinks, I know the better way to do life. I think most of us think we know a few things that God doesn't as well. Worship team, you can come on up and join me. As I was preparing this message, I was thinking there's a few things that probably we assume we know a little bit better than God. Or God might come up to us, and like Moses, he says, I want to provide for you water, and so you just go and speak to this rock. And Moses is like, I know what God wants. God just wants water to come. I'll do it then. God doesn't want water to come. God wants Moses to listen. If he wanted water to come, he'd go, water. Elijah's going to live by this drought land later on in Scripture. He's going to live in a drought land, and God's just going to make a stream come so that he can drink water the whole time. Like, God can provide water. Later on, the prophets are going to dig up holes, and God's just going to make water come in a dried up land. God can make water show up if he wants water to show up. But he didn't want water to come. He wanted Moses to listen. And sometimes the sin in our life is that we try to assume what God probably would want for us. God would probably want this. He's saying this, but probably what he means is this. God's saying he wants me to not be in this relationship right now. Probably what he means is he wants me to be happy, but he doesn't know how happy it actually makes me. He doesn't know how happy I am in this relationship, so I'm going to stay here. God's saying he wants me to stay in my marriage. God's saying he wants this to be restored. Oh, I know what he means. What he means is he doesn't want too much damage to be done to me or to my spouse or to my kids. But don't worry, I've got a good plan for that. Listen, God's not worried about the outcome as much as he is that you listen. Some of us, I think, with our finances, we get in that spot. God wants me to tithe, give financially. Come on. I think probably what God means is he wants me to be smart about some things. And so instead of two pairs of shoes, I'll get one pair of shoes and I will save. So there you go, Lord, I'm taking care of things. Or probably what he means is that he just wants the church to do well. And so, okay, I'll help out once in a while, or I'll serve. And God's like, no, I'm not looking for the outcome. If the church needs money, I can get the money. I'm looking for you to listen. God says, hey, I don't want you to keep drinking that. Oh, God, I know you're probably thinking based on, the 60s. Where now it's 2019. It's different. This is a different kind of thing. It's a different kind of situation. I know how to control myself. I know how to handle myself. It's going to be different this time than last time, God. Don't worry about it. And God's not saying, if he wants to create an outcome of you being sober, like he can do that miraculously in a moment, but he wants you to listen to him. I don't want you to have another girlfriend right now. God, I know. I sort of know what you mean, but I'm lonely. Who provides for your happiness? Who provides your fulfillment in life? We're a church. We gather together every Sunday to worship Jesus. We sing songs saying that he is God. We sing songs that saying he is mighty, he is powerful, he's over everything. We sing songs that you've changed me, I will go anywhere for you, I will do all of these things. We sing songs saying that he is God, and yet we rarely let him know that he is God of our life. There's a few things that we say, God, I'll just remain God in those areas. My finances, I'll take care of those, Lord. You've probably never done bookkeeping like I have. Like, have you ever even seen a receipt? I'm going to handle those pieces, God. Oh, relationships, God, you don't understand. I don't. Have you even been in a relationship, God? No, I don't think you get it. I'm going to take care of the relationship portion of my life. I'll handle that piece. Oh, the weekend, the evenings, the fun time. I'm going to serve you quite a few days of the week. Like, I'm going to honor you with quite a few of my decisions. There's a few things I just got to handle on my own. And God looks at us and says, but my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me, so I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. I've never heard God say, obey halfway. I never heard in the Bible God say, hey, let's negotiate. Moses, can we just negotiate a few things? You bring your wisdom to the table, I'll bring mine. You bring your expertise to the table, I'll bring mine. You bring your experience to the table, I'll bring mine, and let's see where we can land. He says, Moses, here's what I ask you to do. Do it. I'm God. I want to ask you, if you're reading through the Bible and you crack open to a spot in there, you say, "Oh, that part, yeah. I don't think that's for me." Okay. It doesn't all have to be, but God may be saying to you, "Hey, I've got a way for you to live." "No, but I know how to make myself happy." No, I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about obedience. "No, but I know how to handle my finance." I'm talking about obedience. "I know how to handle my relationships. I know how to do all that stuff. That stuff I can control. I know how to raise my kids, God. I know how to do this stuff." No. You think I need to go on that mission trip, or you think I need to be part of that small group? I don't need to be part of that small group. You think I need to do the internship? No, I don't need to do the internship. I think, well, it would be better if I just took a year and made some money and did this and, you know, handle myself in that way. God's not saying, I want to talk to you about outcome and the best way forward. He's saying, "I want to know that you're going to listen to what I have for your life. Unless you'd like to walk in that winter alone. So stop sinning." So you just bow your head for a moment, close your eyes. I just want to lead you through one thing. 2 Chronicles 7:14, here's God saying, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." Here's what I want you to think about. Is there one thing in your life that you can identify that you've half obeyed God on? That's just a personal thing. You walked out on your own. Is there one thing that you've half obeyed God on? "God, I'll do it this much, but not that far." Or you know God's shown you the way forward and you don't want to do it for whatever reason, whatever it might cost you. Is there one area in your life that you've half obeyed God on? Now here in 2 Chronicles says, "So if you will humble yourself, pray, seek Jesus, and turn from your wicked ways." Wicked ways is a pretty strong way of just saying your ways that are not of God. Will you now turn from your wicked ways? God's saying, what's one thing you can do today about that half obedience you've given to me? Is today the day you obey? Is today the day where you say, "God, I've only gone halfway there. I'm ready to go all the way back. I know you've asked me to forgive that person, and I felt like I probably can't, and today is the day I obey. I want to know that I'm not in the winter because of my own choices. I want to know that I'm not in the winter because you've left me, because you're opposing the proud, which is me. I want to know that I'm in here and you're walking with me. I want to know that I'm on your path. I want to know that I'm walking the life you've asked me to walk. And so today is today the day that you obey." And if you're brand new to faith and brand new to church, the Holy Spirit can start to speak to you too. If you just say, "Lord, I want to meet you. I want to know you. I want to know your plan for my life." He's also got a call for you. Your Creator will start speaking, start sharing, start talking. And you get to decide what you do with it. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you love us. You love us enough to give us this moment. Lord, that even when we walk away, you love us enough to honor us. Think of Moses even. Moses even went and died, didn't get to the promised land, and yet he's celebrated as a man of faith in the Bible. Jesus, thank you that you're not sitting here threatening, saying, "I'm about to take away salvation from you. I'm about to take away my love from you. I'm about to take away all that." No. Just like Pastor Rob said, it's there. It's already given to us. It's already handed to us. And yet we have a right to reject it. So Jesus, thank you that today you say, "Hey, do you want to turn back? Do you want to start to obey me with your finance? Do you want to start to obey me with your marriage? Do you want to start to obey me with your relationships? Would you like to start to obey me in your friendships and with forgiveness and with apologies? Would you like to start to obey me in the way that you raise your kids? Would you like to start to obey me in the way that you act in high school? Would you like to start to obey me in your Friday nights and in your Saturday nights? Would you like to start to obey me all the way today? Would you like to do that? Because I want to meet you in your winter. I want to meet you in that place where you're broken. I want to lead you out of it and lead you into spring. Jesus, thank you that you've got hope for us. You've got life for us. You've got joy for us. You've got plans for us. And Lord, I pray that we would be courageous enough to live them the way you ask us to live them, rather than the way we think we should live them. You are, today, Lord, I admit, you are wiser than me. Thank you for that. Thank you that you've got a way forward. Teach us to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray, and anyone who believes it says, amen. Amen. All right. That was a bit of a challenging one, but I want you to go and walk in the freedom that is following God, following his plan for your life, and following the way he has for you, because it's filled with joy, it's filled with hope, it's filled with confidence and peace, knowing you're right with your Savior, and you're right where you're meant to be, that when you're in a winter, you can face it, and when you're not supposed to be in that winter, he'll lead you out of it. Go ahead and stop sinning. Have a great week. We love you. Bye-bye.